From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Tobacco use is the number one preventable cause of death in the U.S. Nicotine is a powerful addiction that leads to many a New Year's resolution to quit. And while e-cigarettes are marketed as tools to help, public health advocates fear they may be getting a new generation hooked. Whatever the source, Georgia offers little state-funded support to help break the habit. A new report ranks it 47th nationwide in funding programs to help smokers quit and prevent kids from using tobacco. John Schachter is director of state communications at the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, which published the report, along with the American Cancer Society, the American Lung Association, and the American Heart Association. He's joining us on the line from Washington, D.C. And John, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here to talk about such an important issue.
Well, thanks for being with us. Also with us in the studio, Michael Erickson. He's dean of the College of Public Health at Georgia State University and former director of the Office on Smoking and Health at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Virginia.
All right, I'm going to start with John because your organization authored this report and assessed what states are doing to reduce tobacco use in the U.S. And you've been doing this since 1998. So start with your key findings about Georgia. Why does it rank so low?
Well, this is our annual report on whether the states are using the billions of dollars they get from the tobacco settlement from 20 years ago and from their tobacco taxes, and whether they're using that money to protect kids from tobacco. And most states get a failing grade. Georgia is particularly low in the rankings because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, recommends that Georgia spend $106 million annually on tobacco prevention programs, and the state spends less than 1% of that, just $750,000 on it. So by ranking so low, it puts it 47th out of the 50 states in D.C.
You were the director of the Office on Smoking and Health at the CDC in 1998. This is when the master settlement agreement was reached between what were then the four largest U.S. tobacco companies and attorneys general of 46 states. So please just remind us of how that settlement came to be.
Yes, Virginia. 20 years ago, or more like 25 years ago, the process really started in an unlikely way. Michael Moore, who was the attorney general in the state of Mississippi, decided that the tobacco company should pay for the harm that they caused throughout the century. And he really launched an effort to engage all the attorney generals from the states in America to sue the tobacco companies to compensate them for the harm caused by smoking. Four states settled individually with the tobacco companies, but then there was the Master Settlement Agreement in 1998 where the tobacco companies agreed to pay over $250 billion, billion with a B, over 25 years to compensate states for the harm caused by smoking, and most importantly, to prevent that from occurring in the future. And that's the failure that's occurred, that the money has not been invested in a way to prevent the problem from occurring in the future.
So is it that there was no oversight about how that money was to be spent?
Very interestingly, there was nothing in the Master Settlement Agreement, which was over a 100-page legal document that stipulated how the money should be spent. It was felt that that was the authority of the state legislature to determine allocation of funds that came into the state. So despite the fact that both the plaintiffs, the states, and the defendants, the tobacco companies, agreed verbally that the purpose of the settlement payment was to prevent the epidemic from continuing in the future, virtually none of the money is spent for that purpose.
That's an awful lot of money for a verbal agreement.
And it may repeat itself if there's an opioid settlement, which is for your next show down the road.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that we are going to have to discuss that, but how much does Georgia actually receive? John or Michael, who wants to pick that up?
Well, I'm glad to talk about that. In the current fiscal year, Georgia will receive about $393 million from both the settlement and the tobacco taxes in the state, although the tobacco tax is one of the lowest in the country, so we'd love to see that increased for many reasons. But again, the state will receive $393 million and devoting less than 0.2% of that, the $750,000. So again, we'd love to see that increase. We're not talking about huge amounts necessary to be spent to combat tobacco use, but the fact that they're spending virtually nothing puts it in that rogues gallery of states that are just failing when it comes to tobacco prevention.
So out of that, $750,000 spent on tobacco prevention and cessation efforts, Michael, that's less than 1% of the CDC recommendation, never mind how much money is at stake. So where's the other money going?
Most of the money, 80% of the money, is going to low-income Medicaid in the state of Georgia. Now, obviously, low-income Medicaid is very important, but most states pay for Medicaid with state tax revenue or have expanded Medicaid to take advantage of the opportunity of getting more money from the federal government. Georgia has neither expanded Medicaid nor is using tax revenue to pay for Medicaid, and they're using the master settlement agreements for that purpose. It's really a missed opportunity for prevention, because I think now in 2019, we have a chance to do something with those funds that could never have been done before.
What do you think should be spent on tobacco prevention?
Well, the thing that we're really excited about is around what we call a lung cancer platform. Lung cancer, more people die of lung cancer than die of colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and pancreatic cancer combined. And for the first time in history, there's a chance for primary prevention, like we've done in the past with tobacco control, but there's also screening, early detection that now works. And now, excitedly, there's treatment as well. So there's a complete package that could actually make a dent in the leading cause of cancer death that's never been done before.
John, you mentioned Georgia's tobacco tax being low. How does it compare to other states?
Well, it's only 37 cents per pack, so that's the third lowest of any state. Only Missouri and Virginia are lower. So we're, the average state tax is about $1.75. So we're really looking at a state that is not doing the thing that's both smart, the right thing to do, and the wise thing to do for financial reasons as well as to save lives.
How many smokers in Georgia? Do we have a sense of that?
Yes. There's over a million smokers in Georgia. We estimate it's about 1.25 million smokers. So there's a fair number of smokers here. What most people don't realize is that the profile of the typical smokers changed dramatically over the years.
How so?
Smoking used to be glamorous and associated with income and the good life. Over the last couple of decades, that's changed now, and it's now become much of a marginalized habit. Most smokers are low income, low levels of education, have high comorbidities, other issues going on, substance abuse and mental health challenges. All of them want to quit, but we're not seeing the people who used to smoke in the past currently smoking. Only 5% of folks with a college education smoke, whereas over a third of high school dropouts smoke.
John, did you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I think I was going to add to what Michael said, that a lot of these differences are in large part also due to the tobacco industry's targeting of vulnerable populations through advertising and price discounts and other marketing strategies. So tobacco is not an equal opportunity killer, and that's not a surprise anymore.
So how much are tobacco companies still spending on marketing?
Well, the industry spends about $9.5 billion a year. That's more than $1 million every hour to market its products. So it's estimated that it's about $350 million in Georgia alone. So that means for every $1 the state spends now on tobacco prevention, the industry is spending about $450 to drown out and dwarf that message. So it's just a battle that's bound to be lost unless the state steps up.
And it's not just tobacco use. It is nicotine. Your report, John, also calls e-cigarette use a growing epidemic among youth in America. So let's talk about the Juul. This is a sleek little piece of technology. This is especially catching on with teenagers, reported to be less harmful to your lungs than smoking cigarettes. So what is the concern among public health officials about e-cigarettes like Juul?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that each Juul pod contains as much nicotine as a pack of cigarettes. But many kids who use Juul don't even realize they're inhaling nicotine. So it is a real crisis that we have to address before it gets worse, because we've seen the CDC and the FDA have pointed out that youth use of e-cigarettes increased by 78% this year. And nobody, certainly not anybody under the age of 25, should be using nicotine products. The brain is still developing, so becoming addicted to nicotine is still a problem. Now, if we could get every smoker to switch to e-cigarettes completely, that's a different story, but that's not necessarily what we're seeing. And when we're talking about kids especially, we shouldn't be talking about nicotine addiction and products that are luring them in, that especially for kids who haven't been using nicotine products before.
Well, Juul, of course, makes the case that this is much better for you than smoking. But Michael, you found that tobacco giant Philip Morris just bought a big share in Juul, now owns a third of the company. What do you think is going to come out of that, and how will the FDA respond?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. FDA is obviously very upset and under a lot of pressure to deal with the issue of nicotine use and electronic cigarettes among young people. And at the same time, they want to move smokers from smoking combusted products, and that these electronic products hold promise as smoking cessation devices, although it's an unrealized promise at this point. We've done a very poor job, and this, when I say we, I mean the government, regulators, public health agencies, communicating to smokers how important it is to stop using combusted products, however they do it. And if e-cigarettes can play a role in that, that would be great. The reality is that in our own study at Georgia State, we found that 90% of people who did both smoke cigarettes and used e-cigarettes were still smoking a year later.
Hmm.
And that's really not a good outcome.
So it is not doing as promised. Could either of you give an example of an effective policy you think in another state that has actually succeeded in keeping kids from smoking and helping people who already smoke to quit? Michael, want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I can't think off the top of my head of any state that I would hold up as a role model in today's world around keeping kids from using e-cigarettes. I think there's the issue that it's technologically attractive, it's cool, it's surreptitious. People don't know that they're doing it, and the kids will be kids in some ways. I think the advertising that Juul has done has exacerbated that. They've used social media exquisitely and have appealed to young people. I think there are things that can be done going forward. FDA needs to play an important role. The issues that John has mentioned around tax and other things need to be done more consistently across the country. But we really need to do a better job educating smokers, existing smokers, that the most important thing they can do is quit combustion immediately.
John, any thoughts on that? You want to cap off?
Yeah, if we look at some states that have had a long-standing, ongoing tobacco prevention and cessation program, states like Florida, just to the south, where they had massive media campaigns, paid media campaigns, as well as consumer education, and they've driven their youth smoking rate down to 3.6%, one of the lowest ever recorded by any state. So if they continue, if states continue to fund these programs or start funding them greater, having these paid media campaigns on top of education and aggressive quit lines, then we can probably educate kids and adults again even further on the e-cigarette epidemic as well. And so we've seen states that have been successful in it in the past. We just need to keep up the fight, because we know the industry is going to keep up the fight.
Michael, 20 seconds left. How could Georgia do better in the future, maybe under a Kemp budget, in fact?
Well, I think there's a path forward that can make Georgia a leader in the nation, and that is to really aggressively address lung cancer. As I mentioned, by looking at prevention, screening, and treatment, 90% of all lung cancer is caused by smoking, and it kills more people than all the other cancers combined. So lung cancer aggressively addressed in Georgia could make a world of difference.
Yeah, a long way to go from number 47. Michael Erickson, Dean of the College of Public Health at Georgia State University, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And John Schachter, he's Director of State Communications for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Stick around. There's more on Second Thought coming up after a short break.